Well, emotions, moving them in the right direction. I can honestly tell you I've never spent more time on a lesson than this one. And it changed this morning, and it changed 2 minutes ago. So it's a constant evolving thing. I'm sure that we'll continue to have discussion on it. It's great because the way I think about some things, somebody may not else think about it. We're going to wrap this up with biblical truths. All right, emotions. Basically, feelings. That's all it is. And we had a question last week, why are emotions sometimes viewed as a negative thing? Do they have to be put aside all the time? Is there ever a time that we can trust our emotions? Even the books, when we read through them, refer to never listen to your emotions. In a way, they're correct. But God gave us emotions. Jesus experienced emotions. It says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, to mourn, to embrace, to love, and to hate. And there's an appointed time for everything. And what if we didn't have emotions? Oh, I saw my grandchild. Oh, that's nice. You know, or there's someone mistreating someone. Okay, well, that's too bad. You know, emotions would be a very boring place to be. He gave us emotions so we can express ourselves. So the reason they get labeled as bad, and this is my opinion, once again, terminology may distort some things. As I was talking to Brooke, I have a terminology, but she said, what about this? Oh, not about that. So we'll talk about it in a discussion group. But the reason they get labeled as bad is we allow them to take more control than God intended. Emotions are a powerful motivator for us to do many good things. But just like anything else, the devil, our flesh, and the world can work those emotions to create in us a sinful attitude, which translates into a sinful behavior. Emotions are not the problem. The control of them are. So, emotions don't lead the way to our behavior. And what I came up with, our disciplined thinking leads, our emotions support. I didn't read that anywhere. This is just the conclusion that I came up. We're going to talk about that later in this lesson. But our disciplined thinking leads the way. But our emotions will support that then. It will come along with our disciplined thinking. It's tough to control our emotions. The very first verse that you have on there, Proverbs 16:32b, Jimmy Pelton put on his Facebook page. I thought, wow, controlling one's emotions is better than capturing a city. And then I looked it up, and I couldn't find that version. I mean, I could not find what version that was. So he said it's a brand new Christian Standard Bible version that was written in 2017 from Holman. So he knew about that. So I wasn't nuts. But the New American Standard says he who rules his spirit is better than capturing a city. The NIV says he who has self-control. So all those are similar. Even the NIV, no, the Living Bible says self-controlled, it's better to be self-controlled than to control an army. So he's saying capturing a city means he controlled an army to capture a city. What does this verse tell us? That we can control our emotions. It's said in the Bible right there. This is a valuable thing. Controlling one's emotions, that meaning we can do this. This is possible. The second point is it's a valuable skill to have. We have, and that's why we're studying this. You know, people wonder why are we studying. Well, it says in that one simple verse that we need to do this. And it's valuable to have because it's greater than capturing a city. He's saying if you personally can control your emotions, and I use that word control loosely. We'll talk about that because it's not, okay, I'm gonna laugh now. I'm going to cry. No, that's not what I mean. It means I'm controlling what goes in here so my natural emotional reaction will be correct. So it's a valuable skill to have. And it also says it's not easy. It's saying that, you know, it's better than capturing a whole city. So understand that we can control our emotions, and it's a valuable skill to have. So that's why we're studying it. When my emotions are controlled biblically, I will give proper sympathy when someone is hurting. I'll give the proper response in rejoicing with someone with something successful in their life. I will be offended if someone treats someone poorly and I come to their rescue. Those are motivated by godly emotions. But those don't come naturally. What comes naturally? Selfishness. Selfishness will come naturally. So we've got to feed this so we can react godly. All right, spiritual gifts are fueled by emotions. How can you have the gift of mercy and not feel mercy for that person? Encouragement. But as my lesson title is, we need to move emotions in the right direction. Simply, we control them. They do not control us. We can't be satisfied with saying, I feel down today. You may feel down today. You got to start thinking about the right things so you can feel better. And I'm going to do a lot of these aside things because it's like three lessons you're getting. The side thing is, what do we say about... I'm drawing a blank. What do we say about self-esteem? We say we don't want to think too highly of ourselves. We don't want to think too lowly of ourselves. What's the bottom line? You can say, what? We just stop thinking about yourself. That's the bottom line. Am I thinking too highly of myself? Stop it. Think of someone else. Same way a little bit with emotions. You know, if I'm thinking biblically, my emotions will be good. If I think I'm feeling down today, okay, that might be the case. You're identifying. What are you going to do with that? You're not going to feel down the rest of the day. You're going to say, I need to fill my mind with some good music. I need to think properly about this. Well, the thinking properly is probably the most important thing here. Hint, hint. All right. As I continue to grow in the Lord, my emotions will be more Christ-like. That's just simple. If we mature in the Lord, our reactions, our emotions are going to be more Christ-like. We want to love what God loves, and we want to hate what God hates. That's pure and simple. All right, hindrances to controlling my emotions. All right, our past can control our emotions. The world has complicated dealing. Thank you. I have a fan up here because I didn't want to freeze you guys out. Just hot all the time. So thank you for thinking of that. All right. Our past can control our emotions. And this is something that one of the authors brought up. I thought it was, I don't struggle with that, but I know some people do. The world has complicated dealing with feelings from the past. There are two ways the past can control our emotions. We can feel guilty about something that we have done, and we can't seem to forgive ourselves, quote unquote. Or we can experience the bitterness of something that was done to us in the past. So there's two lack of forgivenesses that have a problem there. Things that have happened to us in the past do affect us, but let's deal with the past the way God wants us to. And let's go ahead and turn to Philippians 3. You're probably there, but if you're not... It's a very familiar passage, but it's always good to think if Paul was standing here and saying this to us. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying here that he is not mature to perfection, yet he wants to head there. Yeah, his first statement is I'm not where I need to be. I think we all would agree with that. I want to be more godly in this area. But what he says is, but you know what? I know this one thing. This is one thing I know for sure will head me in the right direction. I can just hear him be excited about this. And this is what it is. That I forget what lies behind and I reach forward to what lies ahead. That's what he has known already will help his maturity in the Lord. I'm not mature yet, but you know what? I have a little secret. Forget what lies behind. And why do we forget what lies behind? Because we can't change the past. We can learn from the past, but we can't change the past. You know what God is concerned with in your life today? from what you do now till you die. That's all he's concerned about. He's not concerned about your past unless you've got unforgiven sin. Understand, he's concerned about what you're going to do right now till the day you die. So forget about the past. And Paul says, reaching forward to what lies ahead. So anytime we belabor our failures or the failures of others, it's like telling God that more than forgiveness is needed here. You know, sometimes we think that, we sometimes do that to ourselves. I've done something, I know the Lord's forgiven me, but I feel like I got to pay some kind of penance for this. No, that's not how God operates. It's not how he operates also when you are wanting forgiveness with someone else. They need to suffer a little more before I forgive them. That's not how God deals with us. So just understand that forgiveness takes care of the past, and then we move on. And I love that quote that I have there. Only when we choose to forgive those who have wronged us can we expect that the bitterness and the emotional hurt will begin to subside. You cannot get rid of that feeling unless you forgive. Good luck trying, especially as a believer. The Lord will not allow you to be content without the characteristic of forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we do for others, but we also do it for our own good. It's part of the process of wiping out a hurtful past. And I believe that to be true. And I trust that maybe some of you would have stories to that. So, in either case, the key to forgetting what lies behind comes with forgiveness to those involved in the situation. Then you can move forward with maturity. And then, I didn't write this down, and we're not going to go to it, but Matthew 18, the whole chapter talks about forgiveness, but 21 through 35 reminds us that we need to be quick to forgive. And that's just that parable. It talks about the rich man and how he was, the slave that asked for forgiveness and would not forgive the slave that had. So, all right, point number two, we don't think biblically. No matter if I have a high, this is what happens when you're a little bit tired. No matter what, if we have a high IQ or dumber than a post, we can have disciplined or undisciplined minds. Dumber than a post, I'm sorry. That's all I could come up with without saying the stupid word. So we can be disciplined or undisciplined whether we're smart or not smart. Sometimes when we identify a sinful emotion, what do? We have something that continues to come up that we know we need. What do we do? Well, I've always had a problem in this area. I can't wait to get to heaven so I don't have to deal with this anymore. You know, all those are legitimate things, but have you ever thought about the question, do some people have more sinful thoughts and emotions than others? Good, you didn't respond. I couldn't either. I don't think so. It's how we deal with them. We all will have a sinful tendency. It's how we deal with them. So, we just have to figure out, what does the Bible say? Turn to Romans 12. And you know this verse too, by memory. Then you don't have to look up the next three. So, Romans 12 says, therefore, 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. But do not be conformed to this world. This is about our thinking. But be transformed by the renewing of my mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So renewing our mind, looking it up, restore, replenish, revive, recover, stop thinking like the world does. And understand that they can't help it. And when emotion takes control, it's time to renew our mind. So if you've got an emotion that you're dealing with, it's time to renew your mind in that area. Psalm 51 is David's psalm of repentance. And it says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So from sin, he knew he needed to be renewed. Same thing goes with our emotions. If we have emotions that are a little bit out of control, it's time to renew our mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16, which is becoming more of a dear and dear verse to me. Therefore, do not lose heart, though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. This word comes up quite a bit. We need, even though we may be deteriorating on the outside, we need to renew our mind. Why? So I can do biblical things, so I can keep my emotions in check, blah, 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 blah. There's so many benefits. We don't get to a point where, well, I know the Bible pretty well. I know this pretty well. We need to continually renew our minds. And then Ephesians 4, it's snuck in here too. It says, in that reference of your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with his lusts of the sea, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self. So there's a lot of renewing going on, and I think that's key to biblical thinking. These verses remind us that this is going to be a battle. And go ahead and turn to Philippians 4, and Jackie, I'm going to try not to step on any of your lesson. So, Philippians 4 is the greatest chapter for, well, Philippians, the whole book of Philippians is great. Philippians 2 is great too. Well, the whole Bible's all right. Okay. All right, Philippians 4. These verses remind us that this is going to be a battle. And I came to the conclusion that a mind left unrenewed in the Lord will be an individual that's controlled by their emotions. You know, if you see someone that's controlled by their emotions, they have not renewed their mind. So Philippians 4, starting in verse 8, finally, brethren, this is after all the wonderful don't worry passage. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, what? Dwell on these things. You got a problem with emotions? It's time to do verse 8. Think about these things. What do you have to be thankful for? Turn on some good music. Listen to a good message. I'm very spoiled that I have a little mowing business because I get to listen to good things all the time. I'm not sure where my mind would be if I was teaching like I wanted to be all the time, dealing with unbelievers all the time. That's tough. People that are working full-time, I feel for them. I get spoiled. I get to listen to all that. So I have no excuse. Dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard in me, practice. This is not something that's going to be easy. No, we need to practice these things. And it's, he said, the things you have received and heard and seen in me, can I say that about myself? Can I say to someone who is struggling with a certain emotion, I want you to tell you how I deal with this. And it works. Kind of like what Paul did with us. It takes work and discipline to grow in this area, and that is why it's so important that we take God's word daily in some form, whether you're reading or studying or listening to sermons or listening to other good teachers or talking about it with another godly person. You have to think about the application of the word in your own life, whether you're hearing it from Gil or we're talking around the table. And this Philippians verse takes us to our next point. Point three, we don't think rightly about ourselves and the deception of emotions. Our feelings alone, without the control of the Holy Spirit, are deceptive. That's why we get the impression that emotions are wrong. Because if we do not think properly, our emotions can be deceptive. When can I trust my emotion? When it's a result of biblical thinking. And the quote there, victory is not feeling right. It is found by faith and faith alone. Whenever faith runs counter to a feeling, we must accept faith in God's word as a true barometer of my circumstances. That's a lot to think about, but I think it's very true. If you can step out of your emotion for a second and think about it biblically, is this something that's biblical that I'm feeling? Usually it's not. He had a very good example of an airplane crash after that. The pilot thought his instruments had gone bad on his plane. And he was driving the plane around. He says, this is not right. I just think the feeling was this. And about a half hour later, he crashed the plane. Because he was not, he was going on his instincts and wasn't going on a panel that was the truth for him. So I thought that was an interesting comparison. Most importantly, we need to examine ourselves. Psalm 139:23, you can turn to it or you can just listen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So much in those two verses, because it talks about if you have an anxious heart, or you know my heart, God. But I think the most important thing is admitting, see if there's any hurtful way in me. We want to see ourselves accurately. And I'm constantly reminding myself, I want to see myself as God sees me, not as how I think I should be. If you truly pray to God, he will expose that hurtful way to you, and he will open your eyes to ways of thinking that contradict his word. It's amazing how that happens when you do pray. You know, God, Gil talked about God speaking to us. God does speak to us through his scripture. And if, you know, you could be sitting and thinking about something, and God brings to mind a certain verse, that's okay. You know, we can't say that, I thought about this, but I didn't have the Bible in front of me. If it's a biblical concept, the Holy Spirit's working in your life. So, all right, point four. We don't believe joy will come from obedience. I love this point. I never thought about it. Probably the most coveted emotion that we would like to have is joy. Joy in every circumstance in my life, being bawling your eyes out because of a loved one who has died, but having deep down joy in your heart that they might be in heaven. There's joy and peace even with every emotion. One of the authors in our book calls joy emotional stability. I really like that. If you have joy in your heart, you're going to have emotional stability. So work on the things that are robbing your joy. And one is obedience. Matthew 5:6 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the Beatitudes. And does anybody know, as Mike Fabaris would say, Sunday school graduates, anybody know what blessed means? Happy. Joyful. Okay. So verse 6 says, blessed, joyful are the ones, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You're going to be joyful if you thirst for righteousness. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So remember, and I think I have this quote on there too, the joy of the Holy Spirit does not come by seeking self-fulfillment. It comes by seeking Christ's fulfillment. If you want true biblical joy, you're going to be seeking the things Christ wants, not what you want. You will not get biblical joy without seeking Christ's fulfillment. If we're trying to find joy that makes things that make me happy, I will never find it. All these quotes, don't desire happiness in replacement of joy. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on Jesus. That's a quote. Happiness is temporary. Joy is eternal. And I really like this one, and Gil touched on it a little bit. I don't know if it was in the morning or in the evening. I think it was in the morning. Happiness is something within ourselves. Joy is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Joy is in the Lord. So how can I go after joy instead of happiness? Be obedient. Be obedient to what? And there will be a peace and a joy that you will have. I keep saying peace. Those two are go hand in hand. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine. You know, your joyful heart, it even simply says, it's good medicine for you. It even makes you feel good. So, all right. There's stuff on the back, and I have an addendum, but I think I'm going to quit right now. I will continue a little bit later in the discussion group, because we're going to talk a little bit about our theme verse, and I was really enjoyed looking that up too. So I think we'll close right now. The review, though, just a real quick review. Don't let the past control your emotions. I mean, these are all the positive of the points you have, so you don't even have to write these down. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't let the past control your emotions. Think biblically. Pure and simple. You got a situation, think biblically. Think rightly about yourself. Make sure that you are looking at yourself the way God does. And believe that obedience will bring joy. Obedience will bring emotional stability. So, all right, let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word and how clear it is and how the Holy Spirit can teach us. And Lord, I pray that if we struggle with controlling our emotions, that these simple steps will help us to think biblically, and therefore our emotions should come alongside. We can enjoy these emotions if we are thinking the way you want us to think, and help us to realize that obedience will bring that emotional stability to our lives, because we will not have the guilt of sin. And I just thank you that you are so patient with us, and I pray that we will not be satisfied until we learn the lessons you want us to learn. In your precious name, amen.